This nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men are created equal.
I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear.
Equal.
From WDET in Detroit, this is Created Equal. We've got great guests on the show. Tanya Mosley is an Emmy Award-winning journalist and co-host of Fresh Air with Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley. She's also the founder of TMI Productions, an audio documentary production company that produces the award-winning podcast, Truth Be Told, and the forthcoming documentary, She Has a Name. We are joined by Tanya. Tanya, hey. Great to have you here on Created Equal.
Hello, yes. Good morning.
It's wonderful to hear your voice. We're also joined in studio by Antonio Wiley. Now, he is the co-host and co-executive producer of She Has a Name alongside Tanya. He's a native Detroiter, father of five, and he is the son of Anita, the woman whose unsolved murder is the focus of this podcast. She Has a Name. Antonio, great to have you here.
Good morning.
As well. You two have quite a story, and it is told in a very compelling way in this podcast. Before I talk to the two of you about it, I want to give our listeners a chance to just kind of hear what this is about and understand the magnitude, I think, of what you guys have accomplished here with this work. Let's take a listen to the trailer for She Has a Name.
I've built my entire career on the truth. But there's something that for years I refused to face about the painful places my family and I have been running from. In the summer of 1987, my sister Anita vanished at 29 years old. No known witnesses or clues, gone without a trace, until a DNA match put an end to 33 years of agony. A message from the grave that has maybe come to set us all free.
In 2019, that's when we did the exhumation of Anita, and we had like 12 other homicide cases that we were able to find that year. She was the first one that came back.
All of this time, her remains were in a cemetery just outside of the city, known by police as Unknown Woman, 1987. My sister's son, Antonio, was a teenager when she disappeared and has built his entire life around searching for his mom.
Had you at any point held out any sliver of hope that your mom would be alive?
In a childish kind of way, I think for years I carried that optimism. That's the thing about missing persons. There is no closure. So, you know, your mind goes in many different directions.
Can you tell us a little bit more about where she was found and how she was found?
Yeah, so she was found when the fire department went and responded to a vacant house that was set on fire.
My sister was murdered, which means finding her body is just the beginning of the story for all of us.
And yeah, she was young, man. It's just a whole life wasted, you know. I mean, not just her life, all our lives.
This is more than trying to solve a cold case. It's about a family in search of healing and a city fighting for its own survival.
Man, Detroit was a different place in 87. It was a war zone.
We explore the broken systems that failed Antonio as he desperately searched for answers.
You remember the movie Training Day?
Yeah, of course.
That was Detroit. And that was some of the police department, too.
And Anita, with her own hopes and dreams, doing what it took to survive in a city gripped by the ravages of murder, mayhem, and crack cocaine.
She was always self-motivated. In other words, she was just a natural born hustler.
Why does it make you so emotional?
Because the whole thing is just so sad when you put all the facts together.
For the last two decades, I've been a nomad, traveling the country, telling other people's stories, helping other families heal by telling their truth. I never realized I was priming myself to go home, to help make sense of the story of what happened to to my own family. From TMI Productions and APM Studios, Truth Be Told presents She Has a Name, a podcast about the disappearance of Anita. Join me as I search for the truth of what it really takes to mend broken family ties, heal from the crack era, and lift the shame of buried secrets we've kept from ourselves and each other.
You found so many answers already, but do you feel energized at all about the ability to tell your mother's whole story? And really, your whole story?
Yeah, well, you know, that is a million-dollar question, isn't it? I think it should be told.
Join us on the journey, beginning Thursday, March 28th.
So that's the trailer for She Has a Name, a new podcast that is co-hosted by Tanya Mosley and Antonio Wiley. It is a production of TMI Productions, which is owned by Tanya Mosley. And we're really lucky to have both Tanya and Antonio here in studio today. Tanya, listening to that trailer, there are two words that just keep ringing in my ears. One is truth, and the other is family. And I think that is the tension between those two words and those two ideas plays out in, I think, all of our lives in really different ways and sometimes complicated ways. But here, the story that you're telling, I think, better than anything I've heard or seen before, really illustrates how difficult it is to reconcile those two things. Tell us about doing this work while trying to reach the connection, I guess, between those two words for yourself.
Oh, Stephen, thank you. First of all, for having us here today.
Of course.
You said that you all are lucky. We're very lucky. I just want to say that you and I talked about this. I told you about that I was working on this.
You did.
And like you, so many people have told us from Detroit that this story feels familiar. It feels true. Mm. It feels rooted in something that they've also experienced in one way or another. And I think you get to the heart of it saying, because at the foundation, it's truth and it's family. And Antonio and I have been on quite a journey over the last few years, because there is like the reality of the story itself. My sister, Antonio's mother, disappearing, her murder, finding her remains, putting it all together. But when something like this happens in a family, people put barriers up. They have you know, systems in their lives from day to day to get through. And so sometimes a tragedy like this just sits way back in, like, you know, in your heart as a protective measure so that you can get through the day. So when someone comes to you, like Antonio and I, did with so many family members, to say, we want to bring this story to life. We want to talk about Anita. We want to talk about this time period that was so dark for so many people. It takes a while to get people to actually want to open up. And even when they open up, getting to that truth is something that takes time. It took time for both me and Antonio too. And so we're learning. We were learning in real time as we were producing this podcast. It was a really powerful experience.
Yeah, yeah. Antonio, for you, the truth here is really multifold. I mean, one is the truth of what happened to your mother and your very long quest to discover that. But the other is the truth of who you are and who you belong to, and discovering that Tanya is part of your family and that you have this different notion, I guess, of what your family is the other part of the truth. I mean, it's just an incredible experience. I can't imagine how that has played out for you over this many years.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey. A lot of layers to our family. As Tanya said, we've had an opportunity to unpack some history, get to know each other a lot better, and get to know ourselves a lot better.
So it's been a great experience and a very good journey for us.
For you, Antonio, talk about how the work here, putting this together in a podcast for the rest of the world to digest, what effect that has on you and the healing process that I absolutely expect that you have been on for a long time.
Yeah, it's continuous. We're not at the end of the road just yet, but but we've made some progress. We've had a great team, very talented people working with us on this project. So we've had an opportunity to revisit some old wounds, heal for that, and also raise new questions. Yeah. So it's been, it's been unfolding in real time, so to speak.
Yeah.
If I could jump in real quick.
Sure. Go ahead, Carrie.
I'm curious, Antonio, for you, since this has been something you've been mulling over for decades, when did you know you wanted to reach out to Tanya to talk about this and reopen those wounds? And what was the main motivation for that?
I think it goes back, quite some time, just in conversations that we'd had over the years. Mm-hmm. We kind of began to retrace some of our steps as family first. So that was kind of the genesis of it all. But then over the years, we kind of became a lot closer. And thus, conversations expanded to include not just the highlights, but also some of the pain and struggles as well. So, it didn't happen overnight. It took some time. But eventually we arrived at a place and space where we could, have these kind of conversations.
And you always knew that you would want to revisit this on a broader scale?
Well, it had to happen because it was part of the journey in and of itself. So, whether it, took 30 years or, 100 years, it was going to happen either way.
Yeah. Had to be told.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is also a story about Detroit. And Detroit a long time ago and Detroit today and kind of the things that have confounded us, I think, in Detroit, the things that make us want to absolutely scream out loud about what does or doesn't work and who it works for and who it does not work for. Talk about, Antonio, in the trailer, you talk about Detroit in 1987 and what it was like.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. Detroit was a changing time in my childhood, at least. So it was kind of a tale of two worlds.
Yeah,
the haves and the have-nots, I think you could say, arguably. And then growing up in the fallout of all of that, we kind of see what direction that was moving towards. So. It was challenging just as a youth coming up, but then also watching, some of the older generation at least kind of had to grapple with that changing time.
And Tanya, as a journalist, the discovery of the things that went on here to make it difficult to know what happened to your sister, and then the discovery that this has happened to so many people, this idea of kind of unmarked and uninvestigated graves and deaths in the city, it's absolutely harrowing. And as someone who's spent, the majority of his life here, there are things in this work that that make the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And that's saying something. I don't scare easily because I am from Detroit.
Yep. Yeah, I think some things that we hadn't even considered when we started this journey came to light for us through the making of the podcast. And one big thing is that the podcast is also making sense of a time period that we couldn't see the full view of because we were children in the 80s. Mm. And we were deeply impacted by that time period. But going back and revisiting it and seeing the numbers and seeing the realities, there are some things that came up for us that made this podcast for me and for Antonio deeply, deeply important beyond Anita, which is the center of it. And that's the city of Detroit and the story of Detroit, and also how the history has been erased. So something really interesting, Stephen, is that when we went back to get records of that time period, almost everything is destroyed.
Yes.
There are no police records. They were destroyed by flood and fires. There's no police footage from television stations. All of their archives over the 80s and really 90s have been destroyed somehow, or they can't access them. It's really astounding. And also family members, you know, who kept meticulous records in the form of photographs and home videos. They were destroyed in a flood, you know. And when you put all of those things together, you realize that doing a show like this is also important because it's a document. Mm-hmm. It's like a statement in time that this thing happened, because as the years go on, the only place it lives is in our memories. And so that was also just a really important thing that I think became clear to us literally in the making of the show.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be right back with more Created Equal.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk a little about the work that you've done here, and I guess what you hope it produces. And I don't mean that in terms of results. Sometimes in journalism, we're really focused on, okay, I'm going to do this, and these things will happen in a public sense. But what you hope it gives to listeners in terms of the opportunity to kind of rethink these concepts of truth and family and connection, because they're such powerful ideas in the content in the podcast itself. It seems like you're speaking to people's souls as much as you're speaking to kind of public action here. Tanya, talk about the motivation behind that.
Well, I think both of you asked a question earlier of Antonio of how this story came to be. And I think that that's a very important place to start in answering this question. So a big part of this story, too, is that Antonio and I did not know each other.
Right.
24 years ago when we first met. Antonio was searching for his mom, searching for connection, searching for family. And he found my father, which is Anita's father. And I did not know my father, and I did not know him well. And it was through that connection over the last 24 years or so that Antonio and I have forged a family relationship, a connection. Mm. And in 2020, when police discovered the remains of his mother, we were having a conversation, and we were talking. He was having news crews approach him wanting to talk about this program where they're able to match with DNA. And he was giving these interviews, but he wanted to tell his mother's story in a more holistic way. And I hadn't considered using what I do to tell her story in part, Stephen, because I had never been able to tell a story of this magnitude that got really real, got really true.
Yeah.
Like, talked about the messiness of families and disconnection and finding connection and healing intergenerational trauma, you know?
Sure.
Like, I had never gone this deep before. And so being able to do that really solidified and has solidified for me the power of having your story be told, the power of storytelling. You know, Pulitzer Prize winning author Isabel Wilkerson has this quote where she says, "You can't escape trauma by ignoring it. You only escape trauma by confronting it."
Wow.
And we all have protections that we, as I mentioned, that we like walk through the world to protect ourselves, to protect our emotions, to keep it moving. Because, you know, sometimes when you sit in really devastating things and traumatic events, you know, you feel like, I mean, I may never get up if I really face it. But truly, it's true that facing it, talking about it, can be tremendously healing. And I think that we found that through this process. And also hearing from people who say, just listening to it makes me feel seen, makes me feel affirmed. So that's the start.
So Tanya, talk more about these early moments when Antonio brings this to you. And, you know, there's a number of different things he brings to you, right? Things that you didn't know or things that you didn't understand. Talk through the process of just trying to make sense of it and decide, like you said, to face the trauma and confront it and work through it. How did you get to that space?
Yeah, you know, it's been a slow process. Antonio did not reveal to me everything from the start, which we don't, you know, we don't do that. You don't lead with the most traumatic thing that has ever happened to you and the dirty details of those traumatic things. So when Antonio found me in the early 2000s, I knew that a sister that I didn't know, Anita, had disappeared and she was his mother. And I was devastated by that because I didn't have a sister growing up, and I always dreamed of it. That was the ironic part, is like I always yearned for a big sister. And so before I could even get excited about that, I learned that she was missing. And it was likely because it had been so many years that something bad had happened. But Antonio, it was a beautiful gift to have this nephew who immediately, there was so much about him that reminded me of myself. It felt like a connection that I had been yearning for my whole life, in part because I also didn't know the other side of my family. I didn't know my father's side at all. And Antonio, over the years, has given me like little bits of information, little bits, but I didn't know the whole story until they discovered her remains. And really, Stephen and Antonio, you could step in here to talk more about this, but through the making of this podcast and talking to other family members, was I able to piece together Anita's life?
Wow.
And so while I had this deep connection with Antonio, I now am like forging a relationship with the sister I never knew through the details of her life. And it's extremely powerful. It's extremely bittersweet. But I feel like being able to talk about her gives her life meaning, because there's so many people in this world who we will never know, but whose lives have meaning.
Sure.
She has a name. She's not just an unidentified person in a grave. That's just been extremely powerful.
Yeah. Antonio, go ahead.
Yeah, I think she said it, right? Yeah. You know, it's... It's been a lot that's come out of this journey for us as a family, you know, not just Tanya and I, but our family as a whole, her family, my family, just the connections and things like that that we've been allowed to refoster, you know, and to nourish over the years. So it's been, you know, that's been our experience. But then at the same token, there's many unmarked graves out there still yet to be united with their family. And, you know, now that my mom has a resting place and things like that, just being at the cemetery recently, looking down the Poppers Row, so to speak, you can see the work that Operation United has done over the last few years. And you can still see the red tags. That lines the fence line there of people that's still waiting to be reunited.
So let's explain for our listeners a little more about what Operation United is and how that relates to this story.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, using science, DNA testing, to get a match between unidentified persons that have that were buried back in the 80s with current family members. And like Tanya said, a lot of the paper trail has been destroyed. So DNA is one of those facets that we still have accessible to us. So the technology has kind of re-empowered people in a way that we didn't have back in the 1980s when my mom went missing in particular. So,
yeah. Also, go ahead, Tanya.
What's also really interesting about Operation United, as well as the amazing work that they're doing, is that it sort of is powered by one person. So Detroit police, the detective who deals with missing persons, her name is Sergeant Shannon Jones. And she came up with this idea about a decade ago when she started to see that DNA was powerful enough to make these matches and more available. And so she contacted the FBI and said, I have an idea. It's a pilot program. It's the first of its kind in the nation where they dig up graves and they have these events where they call on the public. Hey, if you have a missing person in your family, come on down, give us your DNA. There's a lot of trust that goes into that. But Sergeant Jones has been very dogged with it. You know, she has been the one who has been pushing for this to happen. And Anita was the first match in this program.
Yes.
Since then, they've had several other matches. But it is an important tool because, as Antonio said, there are so many more in not only Memorial Gardens, which is in Plymouth, Michigan, but lots of other graves. Yeah. And not only in Detroit, but all over the country, every police station has a cemetery where they have unmarked graves because they don't have the identification of the person buried.
Yeah. Antonio, when you started all of this, what was your hope for what you would learn about your mother? And what I mean by that is, you know, I think sometimes we go into things and know that the outcome will be painful, and we know that what we are going to find may upset us, but then we kind of hold out this hope that, well, maybe there's something here that will make me okay with it, or will balance that tragedy with some levity, maybe, or some hope. I wonder what your frame of mind was when you got into what you had to know was going to be difficult.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, it was painful. You know, I didn't really have an expectation other than finding her.
Mm-hmm.
That was the focus. But then over the years, you know, reality check and wanted to, at the same token, find her, but then also find answers. So it, you know, it broadened scope a bit. Had some conversations with law enforcement back then, who kind of gave me some encouragement to keep, you know, keep digging. But then as I unpacked some of my research and things like that, I realized, like Tanya alluded to, the lack of documentation and the lack of record keeping from my own search.
Mm-hmm.
So the questions just grew, the cause grew, so to speak. But then the main focus was still for me to find my mom and get answers.
And in the end, you found so much more.
Yeah, indeed.
And I mean, in some ways, that's what you take from this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully, you know, by sharing this documentary, our story, it can help others that find themselves in this precarious situation, seeking justice for their loved one, seeking answers to, you know, their family trauma, and just kind of, you know, burying the hatchet, so to speak, of things that, you know, still haunts us to this day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we will continue talking with Tanya Mosley and Antonio Wiley about She Has a Name. We'll be right back with more Created Equal.
One thing that I know you spoke about earlier, Tanya spoke about how she felt like, Antonio, when she met you, that she felt like she felt connected to her family. She felt herself in you. I'm curious if you had a similar experience in meeting her and kind of what you found throughout this journey in terms of learning more about who your family is and what characteristics you've inherited.
Yeah, absolutely. Felt that connection. You know, my grandfather, her dad, at that time, he was still with us. And, you know, he was a larger than life figure for me. And, you know, he basically told me that, you know, we should get together. So I think for me, that was probably the genesis of, you know, my search for her. And once we connected, we just found that we shared so much in mm-hmm. common in terms of our upbringing and, you know, what our background was. Mm-hmm. So it's been, you know,
a labor
of love, so to speak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, she has a very central core value system that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's really powerful and dynamic. And and you know, I aspire to that myself. So over time, you know, she's been a source of light and encouragement for me, and helping me just kind of get past some of my my hangups, so to speak, as well. And you know, I support and love her as well. So
yeah, in fact, we have a clip from the podcast about that reconnection of family that mm-hmm. Takes place in your family and plays out in the work here. Let's listen to that.
After that initial phone call in May of 2004, Antonio and I instantly became like family. And he seemed to be just as giddy to see pieces of himself in me as I did in him.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes when I look at you, I'd be like, oh, my God. You got all the best features, you know. It just kind of is mind-boggling. It really is.
That's just funny you say. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but I do think. Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Because when I say I see myself in you, I think that was when we met all those years ago. I was so impressed because, yeah, your drive, your love of learning, your intense desire to know, those are things that are innate in me. And so seeing them in you was just gratifying. It was just like me putting another piece of myself together.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, I feel like we're a new beginning, so to speak. It's divine on so many levels. You know what I'm saying?
That is a clip from She Has a Name, a new podcast from Tanya Mosley, who's a co-host of Fresh Air, and her nephew, Antonio Wiley. It is about Anita, who was Antonio's mother and who brought the two of them together, really, through her death and the effort to discover more about her life. This is Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson. It is our spring on-air fundraiser, and I've got Carrie Jr. II here in the studio with us, but also Tanya Mosley and Antonio Wiley, and we're talking about She Has a Name. In that clip, Tanya, there is something I can hear in both of your voices that suggests the level of comfort that you have with each other, but also I think, and maybe I'm reading into this, but I think there is also a comfort with the resolution of what happened here and the fact that you know now what it is, and even though it's not a good story, it's a painful story, there seems to be a comfort that you found each other and that together you solved that mystery.
I think to a certain extent, yes. You know, I'll speak for me, but I think, you know, at its core, we still want to find out what happened. And that will be part of the podcast, is us exploring what actually happened to Anita.
Mm-hmm.
It's classified as a murder investigation, and it is an open murder investigation. And for Antonio, who was just 14 years old when his mother disappeared, you know, he had to become a man and come into himself in order to take this on and really take it on, to understand not just like the finale of her life with the murder, but who she was, because he saw her through a child's eyes. And I'm just so proud of Antonio for doing this work, because it's hard work. I mean, it's not, to say the least, it's not easy.
Yeah.
I want to answer the question that Carrie asked Antonio, though, mm-hmm. about what we saw in each other, mm-hmm. because, you know, I'll just give you an example. Every time Antonio and I get together, when I'm home in Detroit and we're sitting on my grandma's porch or we're just hanging out, my family always says, I mean, gosh, can you guys like stop talking? You guys are sitting there talking for hours and about deep stuff, you know? And I'm like, oh, I finally met my match here, you know? And like, it's beautiful to like the mind meld, to be able to have those types of conversations. I just see myself in him so much in that. And then they're just small things. When you don't know the other side of your family, you know, there are physical characteristics, sure, that you can never put together. And we've been able to put those things together. I see myself in him in a literal sense. When I look in his face and when I look at pictures of Anita, I see elements of me. That's so powerful. It's given me more than I could have ever imagined, being able to put this piece of myself together.
Wow. Wow. Antonio, for you, is there, I guess, comfort in what you did get out of this that makes some of the other stuff easier?
Yeah, indeed. It's definitely, you know, we've come a long way. I feel like I've definitely come a long way from, you know, the child that I was to the man that I am today.
Yeah.
And, you know, having this work, you know, be kind of a echo throughout the city of Detroit and the nation, if not the world, is definitely one step further in trying to help other people who's probably been through something similar to.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that I think is the hardest in life is when you have to do either reclamation or kind of restorative work around your parents.
Yeah.
Things that are either complicated about them or unknown about them, and you go and do the work to resolve that. It is one of the most difficult things in the world. And you're right, it grows you up really fast.
Yeah. Right? And, you know, and I encourage people to, you know, to face it, you know, head on and, you know, do the work for themselves. You know, it's worth it.
Yeah. Okay. She Has a Name. Tanya, where can people listen to this wonderful podcast?
Yes, well, today the trailer is now out. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, any podcast player, it will also be on YouTube where people can listen. And I also want to say, in May, on May the 13th, we will be in Detroit. We'll be having a live event, and mm-hmm. I'll let you know more about that, Stephen, because what I want is for people to fill the room. And I want to hear their stories. We want to share Anita's story, but we also want to use that kind of space to be able to be open and talk and hear from each other. That is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we will make sure to get you in here to talk about She Has a Name when you're here in May for that event.
I would love it.
Yeah. Okay. Tanya Mosley and Antonio Wiley. Congratulations, of course, on the work, and thank you so much for being here on Created Equal.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Carrie.
Yeah. Created Equal is produced by Carrie Jr. II and David Lines. Audio editing is by Connor Anderson, and the music is by Sam Bobie. Created Equal is a production of WDET, a listener-supported service of Wayne State University.